Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters podcast. This is Family Voices with Patty Barron. Army senior leaders have made a strong commitment to increase support for soldiers and families. Army Chief of Staff General James McConville says, people are the Army's greatest strength, and we must take care of them. Army senior leaders recognize the critical role families play in the overall Army mission, and we've seen multiple initiatives to better support our Army families. We are here today with members from Army Public Health Center to discuss key points from their recent report, The Health of the Army Family, What We Know, What We Don't, and What's Next. It is my pleasure to introduce our speakers today, Ms. Laura Midvalsky, Dr. Matt Beamer, and Ms. Emily Warren. Would you all introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, Patty. Thank you so much. This is Laura Midvalsky. I am the Director for Health Promotion and Wellness at the Army Public Health Center. And this effort, optimizing the health of the Army family, is something that my director is leading for our organization in partnership with many of the organizations we'll talk about today on this podcast.
Hi, Patty. Thanks for having me. My name is Matt Beamer. I'm a statistician with the U.S. Army Public Health Center.
Hi, everyone. This is Emily Warren, and I'm with Army Public Health Center, but I'm detailed at Deputy Chief of Staff G9 with the Soldier and Family Readiness Division, and I provide program evaluation support to them.
We're so excited to have you all here. And Laura, I'm going to start with you. From your perspective, why is summarizing work on Army families important, and what can we gain from these types of reports?
So you have about 10 hours, Patty. Why it's so important. We're just so excited. And our effort started, really, I know that all of our partners, this is part of what they do each and every day. Our effort on this Optimizing Health of the Army Family report started when Office of People Analytics really came out with data that shows that family and spouse satisfaction with military life and spousal support for retention are key factors that influence soldiers' actual retention decisions. Now, many of our Army families that are listening out there would say, well, of course, right? But really what we've been doing is showing that this is a readiness issue, that there's a wealth of research out there on active duty soldiers, but really comparatively less on Army families. So there's a lot of high quality research out there. And we just noticed the opportunity to really synthesize that research into a single, accessible, easily readable report that will hopefully help not only our family members, but our commanders alike action the data that we're presenting in this report.
Laura, you're absolutely right. I think a lot of families are going to say, well, of course. However, we have to have the data in order to inform policy, to make decisions that are the right decisions for our families. And so I'd love to know some of the stats that you came up with about the makeup of Army families.
Absolutely. And thanks for saying that, because I think when you bring data to the table, the data speaks for itself. And that's exactly what we are doing in this report. We used 2018 data for the initial report. And many of you all listening know that there are about 472,000 active duty soldiers in the U.S. Army. And over half, 57.3% of these soldiers have a spouse and a child or an adult dependent. So when you add up those numbers for Army family members, they total 654,748. So basically 650,000 Army family members. I know these are a lot of numbers I'm throwing out, but you can see by these numbers that Army family members outnumber active duty soldiers. So again, going back to that comment I made initially with the Office of People Analytics data, that spousal support for military life or satisfaction are key factors that influence actual retention and decisions. We have a lot of Army family members that compose our Army family. And as of 2018, 54% of our active duty soldiers were married and 42% had children. 41% of those children were under the age of 5. And about 32% were between 6 and 11 years old. So bottom line, this tells us that many of our Army families are caring for young children. So again, this effort was to pull the data together and synthesize in one report where hopefully our families can use this data and also our commanders can really action the data in support of Army families.
Such good information. And I know we hear it often, but when you think about it, so the largest percentage of Army children are 11 and under. And of that, the largest percentage is 5 and under. So we've got some very young families with some very young children. And we've heard this before with other reports that have come out. We've had many presenters, Laura, you've been one of them, talking about other research efforts. But how is this report different than the other efforts on soldiers and families?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think we'll be really excited for our listeners to actually read the report. But it's different in three ways. And again, there are so many people doing wonderful work out there. And sometimes they're focused on certain effort areas. What this report is trying to do is really to look at things holistically. So really, it's a holistic approach to health. So that means that we're looking at health beyond the traditional definitions of physical health and mental health. These factors are really important, of course, and lots of research is out there on physical health and mental health and great reports and so forth. But we've included areas in this that look at financial health, family functioning and child functioning, a sense of meaning and purpose as a military family, successful adjustments to military life, especially during periods of transition, which you all talk about often in AUSA, you know, the family readiness. And then access to quality healthcare is obviously very important to our families, as well as living in a safe environment. And then finally, another holistic approach to this report is that the different demographic characteristics that can affect all these areas. So they're not all the same across the board because we have a different demographic characteristic across our Army. So we really use the framework of the seven domains of health that is part of the Ready and Resilient campaign out of Army G1, and that was updated in U.S. Army 2020. Also, the total force fitness that's overall arching for DOD, which is also the seven domains of health. And then finally, looking at the national prevention strategy for our country. And so how do we nest all of these into this holistic report that everyone can kind of see themselves in and be able to action that information? We've examined what we know about these different domains, and we know a lot, and we talk about that. And we also talk about what we don't know and why these areas matter for soldier readiness and retention. Emily, if you don't mind, I'd like for you to talk a little bit more as our embedded evaluator at DCS G9, some of the other ways this report is different.
Sure. Thank you, Laura. Another way that this report is different is how we organize the information. And what we try to do is organize the information around critical touch points in the military family life cycle. So these touch points are best understood as common events or experiences that a typical Army family may face. And this can include actually becoming an Army family, whether you join as a family or whether a soldier then decides to get married and have children. These are experiences like PCS moves or deployment experiences and truly balancing Army duties with family responsibilities. And so this model of the military family life cycle was adapted from something I'm sure our listeners are well familiar with, which is the soldier life cycle. And so we haven't really seen this done before in previous reports. And it's interesting to note that some of the family readiness programs available, specifically the financial readiness program, has actually reorganized its services around this life cycle model. And I think that this reflects hopefully an increased understanding and sensitivity to how military life is truly interconnected and interwoven with family life. And another way that our report differs is that our intent isn't just to collect and report out on data, although that's a very important effort. We wanted to also take another step and offer concrete recommendations for a variety of different audiences based on the research that we reviewed. So this report offers actionable recommendations for multiple audiences. We have recommendations for program staff, for policymakers, for researchers, and for the Army community itself, such as commanders and soldiers and family members. And we have that now all in one place. So we really wanted to speak to each group directly and help all the key players get on the same page so we can figure out how to best work together.
Emily, Laura, that is so great. As an Army spouse myself and my daughter now going through the Army life cycle, this couldn't be more timely and spot on. So what are you hoping Army families and Army leaders take away from this report? And what do you most want Army families to know?
Patty, thank you. I think that there are a couple things that we hope Army families and leaders can take away from this report. So important, and I've already said this a couple times, probably too many times, but it's just so important that everyone understands at the core that families' experiences in the military are critically linked to whether or not a soldier will decide to stay active duty. And I can't foot stomp that enough. That's what the data shows. And this can occur, though, through multiple channels, such as satisfaction with military life, attitudes toward the military and family support for their soldiers' retention. And even though Army offers attractive benefits, young people today are not motivated by benefits alone. And there's research that we'll talk about in just a bit when Emily comes back on. There's research on youth perceptions of military life, and it shows that while many see the military as providing good benefits, many don't see the military as providing a job that makes them happy or an attractive lifestyle. That's a really interesting comment, just something that I think is important to discuss a little bit is when asked in the survey that was done, what makes an attractive lifestyle? The youth participants reported a positive environment for families as an important component. And that was in JAMRS and was reported in 2016. Emily, I think you're going to talk a little bit about that. So if you wouldn't mind, I'll go ahead and hand it over to you.
Yes, I'd love to. Thank you. Another thing we're hoping that Army families and leaders take away from this report is that they truly see, and again, Army families know this intuitively, but they really see from a data-driven perspective the critical role they play, not only in deciding to stay a military family, but also in the decision to enlist in the military from the very start. So a really interesting area of research that we reviewed is mainly how conversations about joining the military initially even start within the family unit itself. In fact, 21% of new Army recruits said that speaking with a family member is what prompted them to speak to a military recruiter. And this is also a finding cited by JAMRS. And additional research we saw is the importance of a family tradition of military service. And what that means is there are multi-generations within a family who are choosing to dedicate their life to military service. And the Status of Forces survey from 2017 showed that about 40% of our active duty Army soldiers were greatly influenced by their family's military tradition in their decision to join the Army. And JAMRS puts out a new recruit survey annually. And as of 2019, this report showed that 24% of new Army recruits were greatly influenced by a parent specifically to join the military. And we've even heard from conversations and discussions with senior leadership, from leadership themselves, that the Army is becoming somewhat of a family business. And here is why we think that that is important. So not only are Army families are critical for decisions to stay, but also Army families are critical in the decision to join. So really what we're taking away from this is families are really not an afterthought. They are on the forefront along with the soldiers in terms of key factors and resources for the Army in terms of the Army's ability to meet its mission. And so family members are truly important to the overall health and success of the total Army. And Army really has a vested interest in taking care of its families.
Emily and I have addressed JAMRS, but we didn't say what that meant. And so if anyone wanted to look it up, JAMRS is the Joint Advertising Market Research and Studies effort that the Department of Defense is responsible for joint marketing communications and market research and studies. So the data that we both just spoke about comes from that organization or that Joint Advertising Market Research and Studies. Just wanted to share that with the listeners.
Thank you, Laura. I was wondering what JAMRS meant, so thank you for that.
Yes, thank you.
And Emily, that's so true. In the last year, we've had two family members call my husband to talk about military life and to talk about whether or not they should consider joining the military. After that, those discussions, one decided to join and the other one decided not to join. So Mike is still trying to figure out what he did wrong with the one that didn't join. So I would also say that it is a family business. And even in our own family, my daughter served for 7 years and now she is continuing on as an Army spouse. So it rings so true for so many of us. And what would you say, Emily, are some of the most persistent challenges experienced by Army families?
I really appreciate you also sharing your personal experiences with your family in terms of seeing this continuation of service, and especially with respect to your daughter. And so some of our listeners might be familiar with the Blue Star Families Military Family Lifestyle Survey. This is an annual survey, and it's a really great source to get a sense of the top challenges experienced by spouses and service members themselves. As of 2019, we see that the top challenges included financial issues and financial stress. And in fact, this was the number one concern for both service members and spouses. in that it was the most frequently reported concern for both of these groups. We also see the stress associated with relocation or permanent change of station or PCS moves. We also see isolation from family and friends as a top stressor, and of course, the experience of deployment. And I wanted to come back really quickly to this concern of the role of financial health for Army families and soldiers. While writing this report, we saw that financial concern is certainly a common thread that's woven throughout multiple military life experiences, such as PCS moves, deployment, and simply navigating life, especially as a junior enlisted family who might have less financial resources or just less experience and less knowledge of the resources that are available to them. And so financial concerns also emerged as a top concern in the data that Army Public Health Center collected in response to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. And Dr. Matt Beamer, who is a part of our panel today, and he's our colleague from APHC, he played a lead role in collecting and analyzing this data, and he's going to talk more about these results later on. I also wanted to really quickly mention an amazing effort that was conducted by RAND in 2019. It is today's Army Spouse Survey. And this was essentially an updated needs assessment of Army spouses. And in terms of challenges, I just wanted to quickly report the top problems experienced by Army spouses in this sample included concerns about their own well-being, such as feeling stress or overwhelm and feeling tired. They also reported issues of challenges associated with work-life balance, and especially challenges associated with military practices and culture. And how that was really defined and operationalized in the survey, what it really came down to, challenges with how to navigate the Army system of available resources. And this is an issue that we've heard in previous AUSA conferences, and it's really coming to light in the research as well. And I think this is going to be a really interesting area in terms of how to best facilitate and support the ability for Army families to have access to an awareness of interaction with these resources that are available.
Absolutely. And I'm very proud of the small role that we play in getting this information out to those that create programming that support Army families. And I know that they're working very hard to, in some instances, upgrade or reimagine these programs. So can you briefly talk about some of the resources that the Army offers to help address those top challenges?
I'd love to. And just keeping in mind, my knowledge is mainly concerning family support programs. So those are the ones I'm going to talk about briefly here. I'm sure that there are others that we can also maybe link to or something as part of this podcast. But when it comes to family support programs, the ones that I'd love to mention are through the Army Community Service Center. And Army Community Service programs are essentially a suite of family support services. And so some of the resources that we mention in this Health of the Army Family report include the Financial Readiness Program, which has historically targeted and offered services to service members. But interestingly, they're also developing ways now to engage spouses in terms of financial education. And then we also have the Employment Readiness Program. And this program targets spouses who are looking to acquire tools and resources and skills to either get a new job or perhaps advance their career and further it in either a different direction or a more advanced direction within their own field, and then also looking to advance their education as well. And we also have the Relocation Readiness Program, which is designed to help a family best prepare for an upcoming PCS move and hopefully assist with a successful transition and integration into their new duty location. We also have the Mobilization, Deployment, and Stability Support Operations Program. Some of our listeners might know this program as MOBDEP. That's what I've heard it referred to as, kind of more colloquially. And this is a program that offers deployment, preparation, and resources, ideally during all phases of the deployment cycle, which include preparation, separation or the deployment itself, and then very importantly, reintegration when the service member returns back home and the family has to navigate these new routines and norms as they come back together as a family.
Thank you so much for that. I think it's so important that our listeners know how much you've tried to collaborate and integrate your findings and your report with other factors that support military families. And it's good to know that it isn't duplication. It really is augmentation, if you will. And I think that the discussion has been great so far about the stressors that Army families face. Certainly, they're very, very recognizable. This year, though, has been really challenging because we've had something that we've never dealt with before, and that's worldwide pandemic in COVID-19. And because it's impacted all Americans, including our nation's service members and their families, Dr. Beamer, let's bring you into the conversation. What has the Army done to try to understand the impact of COVID-19 for soldiers and their families?
Thank you so much for your question, Patty. Shortly after many states implemented lockdowns in March of 2020, the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research contacted the U.S. Army Public Health Center to collaborate on a survey to better understand stressors brought about by COVID-19, especially in regard to families. We deployed the survey at three different installation groups. There was 1st Corps, which is located in Washington State, Japan, Hawaii, and Alaska, 8th Army in Korea, and the U.S. Army Europe. Soldiers at these installations were provided with a unique survey link, which they could fill out during duty hours using either their smartphone or their computer. And we had about 22,000 soldiers respond to the survey. We're writing up our findings right now for the formal technical report, but we also have a vignette that's going to be included in the first Health the Army Family report.
And can you share some example questions that focus on soldiers and families? I'm really interested to hear that.
Yeah, definitely. So the survey was about COVID-19 and how it was affecting the soldier in general, but we also asked specifically about their partners as well as their children. When we looked at their partners, either their spouse or significant other, we specifically asked about household impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, the employment status of the significant other or spouse, specifically if they were laid off, furloughed, hours reduced. We asked how their family was coping with the pandemic and their overall marital satisfaction. For soldiers who had children, we asked about any emotional or behavioral stress that the child may have been experiencing, child or children, and if the child's daycare or school had closed or reduced its hours as a result.
Are you able to share any of the findings with us?
Definitely. So the COVID pandemic has spread throughout the United States, but we know that the economic and emotional effects of the pandemic differ based on key demographics. We didn't just seek to determine the overall burden of these different stressors, but also how those burdens were distributed by these key demographic categories. Specifically, we found that about 1/4 of soldiers stated that their partner or spouse was no longer employed outside the home, but this was different based on the different demographic variables that we looked at. So specifically, male soldiers were more likely to report that their spouse was no longer employed in comparison to female soldiers. In addition to that, about 26% of junior enlisted soldiers reported that their spouse was no longer employed outside of the home, versus only about 17% of warrant officers or officers. What we found with soldiers who had children were 59% of soldiers stated that their daycare had either closed or reduced their hours. And like we found with the previous results, there were differences based on demographics. About 20% of male soldiers said that they had not been able to make alternative child care arrangements compared to 33% of female soldiers. And we look at these differences by race, ethnicity. About 30% of Black and African American soldiers were not able to make alternative arrangements for daycare versus only 20 to 22% for white and Hispanic soldiers.
This is such important information. Thank you for digging deep into this. I wanted to make sure that I understood these are spouses that were working that because of COVID were no longer working, correct?
Yes, that's correct. So their employment was directly affected by the COVID-19 pandemic.
And so on top of not being employed, the other big issue was the childcare issue. And if you go back to what Laura was talking about and Emily around financial readiness and that being a factor in quality of life for soldiers, that really is a very important data point. So thank you for that. How can the Army use this knowledge to help soldiers and their families?
Well, I think the key thing is we often talk about how all soldiers are green, but the COVID pandemic has really laid bare the disparities that exist in the United States and our society. And the Army is a microcosm for those disparities based on gender, rank group, and race ethnicity. I think the Army should first use these findings to acknowledge different stressors for soldiers based on these demographic indicators and ensure greater access to job counseling as well as childcare for all Army families.
And Patty, if I could, this is Laura. I just wanted to say that the team briefed the Quality of Life Working Group on these results probably 2 weeks ago. So we're really excited that we were able to share all of this information because there is a whole line of effort around these two particular areas, whether it's childcare or whether it's spouse employment. So again, just trying to ensure that everyone who's working on these important areas have all the data to be able to make informed decisions about how to move forward.
Thank you so much for that, Laura. We're definitely coming down to the end of our podcast. Is there anything that we missed? Anything that you thought, gosh, I forgot to say this and I'd really like to make this point? And Laura, we'll start with you.
Well, first of all, thank you everyone who may be listening to this podcast. We're surely just so passionate for this topic area. And I think we've tried to address information that we know. And I just want to maybe restate again why this is so critical to Army leaders who may be listening and Army families who know this information. But that OPA data, the Office of People Analytics data, that's talked about spouses' satisfaction with military life is tied directly to active duty soldiers' retention in the military. So this is a readiness issue, and having our leaders across the Army use these findings and use this report program areas to help action efforts at their level is just a win-win, not only for our Army family, but a win for our Army leaders because we'll continue to retain high-speed soldiers and their families.
Fantastic. And Dr. Beamer, anything that you missed or anything that we might also need to know?
Yeah, just one other thing. I think that the response to the COVID-19 pandemic has been swift, but every installation is different. So in order to see what specifically is going on at your installation or an installation close to you, I advise soldiers and their families to consult their community resource guides to get the most up-to-date information on what's going on near you.
And Emily?
All of those points are great. Thank you. I think I would just want to echo something that Laura said. In my role as an embedded program evaluation consultant, I've basically been sifting through research for the past 30 years on this topic. And I guess I just wanted to emphasize this idea of family satisfaction being so important to the overall health and performance of the total force itself. This is an idea that we've seen back from the early 90s with some of the RAND reports. And now it's just very amazing to see concrete data that confirms this idea that has been written about. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners know that without having to see the data because it's their lived experience. So I think just to kind of bring this full circle, I'd want to emphasize this is something that we've talked about. We've known intuitively for a long time. It's something that our listeners know in a very, you know, obviously deep lived experience way. And so now we just see this data lending support to that idea. And so I hope that this report can help just really not only synthesize all this information, but provide some actionable concrete steps for all the different audiences that we try to speak to, and that we hope that this report can really improve the quality of life for Army families.
If I could, this report, all of the data has been collected. All of the solid draft has been put together and will be ready for publication for everyone to read within the next couple of months. So I don't want people to think it's ready right now because it's been taking quite a bit of time to pull together all of the different data points and then really provide actionable recommendations for all the various groups that we discussed. So just wanted to put that out there for your readers, but stay tuned. That will be coming your way soon.
All three of you, thank you for this really just amazing discussion. I promise you that I will do whatever we can at AUSA Family Readiness to make sure that people know about this report. And I'm going to anxiously await for its release and spread it far and wide. This is so important. It's actionable. It's, yes, intuitive, but we have real numbers that back up what we've always known. And families are extremely important when it comes to readiness, but also when it comes to retention. I know that my daughter right now is living a lot of the issues that you just brought forth through her PCS to Europe during COVID-19. It has not been easy. And many of our other Army families are going through similar things. And so I can't thank you enough for this very, very informative podcast. And I look forward to having many more with you all in the near future.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.